I am so happy to be here today to discuss a subject that's near and dear to my heart. You know, we've heard a lot of news today that is kind of overwhelming in the depression, right? It's so severe, the censorship, the disinformation, the misinformation. And it's hard not to sometimes feel hopeless about how do we move forward? You know, what's the way forward for doctors and patients, et cetera? So as an emergency physician, you know, I had faced a lot. You know, how do I treat this patient without also maybe risking my medical license? How do I get this patient medicines when the pharmacists are giving me a hard time? So we spent a lot of time, I know the three of us have talked a lot about what the future could look like in a positive way going forward. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. So first, let's just spend like a little bit of time talking about the actual problems that we saw for you, Dr. Cole, as a patient, as a physician seeing patients. And for you, Dr. Vandewater, as a pharmacist on the front lines?
Distrust. Never, ever in my entire career have I seen such a destruction of the doctor-patient relationship. I mean, I would ask every single patient that had a diagnosis of COVID, I'd say, well, what did your doctor say to do? And they would say, well, he told me to go home. And don't come back until you can't breathe. I mean, it was just unimaginable. I said, well, how did that make you feel? And they said, well, I'll never trust that person again. I mean, he's been my doctor for 20 years. And I just can't believe it because I do know that there are medicines. I mean, they knew about the hydroxychloroquine and then later on, ivermectin.
So you primarily were feeling the pain of the loss and the destruction of the doctor-patient relationship, which I experienced a lot in the ER as well. And I was just telling you, I trace a lot of this back to free speech, people being able to talk freely. So I felt like the patients weren't really able to talk freely because they had already been propagandized against something, and doctors weren't able to talk freely because they were scared of their medical boards. And then, you know, the whole thing, like they just couldn't be open with each other. And then when the patient tried, the doctor didn't listen. Yeah. And what did you see like on the front lines?
Well, I just saw pharmacists practicing medicine and they were refusing to fill prescriptions coming in for COVID treatment or prevention. And I was kind of surprised to see pharmacists taking that stand and interfering in the doctor-patient relationship and trying to act like they knew better when we as pharmacists do not diagnose the patient. We just fill the prescriptions that are given to us from the doctor.
That's the question that I just want the whole public to hear. How is it normally supposed to go if a doctor, Dr. Cole, writes a prescription for her patient, sends the patient off to get the medicine, and you're the pharmacist and you receive the prescription? What's your role, like exactly?
So we get the prescription, we go into the computer system, you type in the information. Normally, in normal settings, things just roll through, no problem. But lately with COVID, things have been popping up in the computer system. The first thing that's been popping up in the computer system is drug-drug interaction, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. Now, just to be aware, azithromycin on its own has an arrhythmic, a QT prolongation is what it's called. So that would flag just on anybody getting a Z-Pak. And our job as a pharmacist, what we would do is we go on the patient's profile. They're not on cardiac meds. Most times we just fill it. If we notice a patient was on, it's just not on. Test. okay, it's back now. Yep. So if we notice a patient was coming in with hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, it flags saying the two of them together is a drug-drug interaction. So that right there is not true. And what ends up happening at the pharmacies, the incorporates, it's put in the database. So when it would flag in our system, it's an algorithm. Sound familiar? An algorithm would be set down. So it would flag drug-drug interactions. It would flag, patient-drug-disease interaction. And it would come up as a red warning flag on the screen. So and most pharmacists, after a while, like when you're a new pharmacist, anything freaks you out. You're like, I don't want to hurt someone. But as you go, you start to learn and know, navigate. Well, with the hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, if you're a new pharmacist or you're just not aware, you're going to then stop filling that prescription, not pass it through, and then call the doctor. And then also what's popping up in some corporations is a warning saying the FDA does not approve this for COVID treatment.
Right.
So the pharmacist then, and they put a disclaimer, it's up to, you know, your discretion if you want to fill this or not. So depending on that pharmacist and how they feel, and of course it's going to put fear in the pharmacist, but then they're thinking, oh, the FDA, you know, so there's all these things that are stopping the flow of filling that prescription. Normally you just enter the information, fill it, it's hanging, the patient comes and picks it up. Now you're being stopped in the process of normally filling a prescription. Either A, you can call the doctor, or B, you just say, I'm not filling it.
Dr. Cole, have you experienced this?
Well, it was unbelievable because they would now ask us for a diagnosis. And this was the first time that the pharmacy had asked for a diagnosis. I said, why do you need to know what the prescription's for? And it was just, it was the first time it had ever been adversarial. And I just, I couldn't believe it. And then they would actually say, well, that stuff doesn't work. And I said, well, it's FDA approved. And I've treated, I told them at the time, I've treated 200 patients with it and it's highly effective. Well, that stuff doesn't work for COVID. And they would refuse to fill the script.
So I just want to take a moment, like, so from the patient's perspective, I think patients don't always realize that the pharmacist does not have access to the same information the doctor has, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's clear necessarily to the average person. They think, oh, you know, the pharmacist knows everything that I've told the doctor. Not at all.
Right.
We protect that doctor-patient relationship so closely because, yes, we like our neighborhood pharmacists. Mostly we don't know them, but we assume that they're good people. But think about it. If the pharmacist had all the information that the doctor had, there's a whole other layer of privacy that's been lost, you know, especially like if you live in a small town, there's the pharmacy tech, the pharmacy assistant, all that. So we guard that really jealously. So patients are being, now the patient who has up until now, even without knowing it, enjoyed this zone of privacy mm-hmm. around their issues, right? If you're on an HIV medicine, AIDS medicine, which is used for other things, the pharmacist doesn't know if you have AIDS. Right? The pharmacist only knows that you're getting a particular medicine, right? This zone of privacy now, the pharmacist felt empowered to say, well, what is that for?
Right.
That really had not happened.
No, it had not. And like, if I were someone filling that Z-Pak prior to COVID, just a Z-Pak, I would still counsel the patient and ask. And seriously, 99% of the time, the patient said, my doctor went over that with me. But of course, we're doing our part still too. You know, we're doing our part to just follow up. Or we would call the doctor and we'd be like, just to let you know. And they're like, oh, we're aware of it. We know the patient's fine. You know, there's ways we would do things, but I'm just surprised that they would be so like, you're right. So like, oh, we're just not gonna do something.
So
that's never happened.
So I think you both know, but I don't think the public really knows that in the era of COVID, they changed the laws. So the laws surrounding this are developed at each state. The states each control the medical board and the pharmacy board. So if you go to afldsdot.org, you can see under hydroxychloroquine, there's a map of what the states did in regards to hydroxychloroquine in 2020. And I have to say, as a doctor lawyer, I was just horrified. I was alerted to this because working as an emergency physician in my state in California, I got a letter from the governor, I think it was April 5th or something, and everybody in the state got it, saying that I could prescribe hydroxychloroquine, but it was possibly unprofessional, and I could use it, but I shouldn't use it for COVID. This letter, I was shocked, right? First of all, I'd never seen anything like that in medicine where they say, well, if you use this FDA-approved medicine, you might get into trouble, and then, by the way, you can keep using it, no problem. For a whole list of things, but not for this. That was,
Absolutely, absolutely.
It was just shocking.
Well, it was irrational,
you know.
It just, how could they make that argument? And so you knew that something just wasn't right from the get-go when they started doing that.
Right. To me, that was a huge clue because I'd say, how is it possible that you can take it for rheumatoid arthritis,
right.
you can take it for lupus, you can take it for malaria. By the way, you can take those things for years and years and years, mm-hmm. but you couldn't take it for 5 days.
And it's
and
over
how
the
is it
counter
possible?
In other countries.
It's over the counter.
It's over the counter in other countries, yeah.
And how could the governor, mm-hmm. bureaucrats, like get in the middle of what the actual diagnosis is? It was
right.
crazy. But, right, this has never happened like on the diagnosis level.
Never.
Why
never.
Do you think other doctors sort of just went along with this? I said it's a destruction of the doctor-patient relationship.
Well, and they have to know this. I think that's why they're so dissatisfied with their job now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they resent it and they're angry and they're frustrated because the patients are coming to them, doctor, doctor, you know, I've heard about ivermectin. Can you prescribe that for me? Well, no, that doesn't work. There's no effective short, early treatment for COVID outpatient. And, you know, and the patients just go, that's not what I heard. You know, I know of these, I know of people in my community that have been on treatment and they've lived. And then they're terrified of COVID because of the death rate. And it's just really destroyed the relationship.
So one of the ways around, at least for now, is to avoid the pharmacy chains.
Correct.
Right? I mean, I know you, because I've talked about this with you, have utilized independent pharmacies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our other, most of our doctors who are prescribing basically found out that independent pharmacists were different. Mm-hmm. And if you want to speak with that a little bit.
Yeah, that's the chains, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, a lot of grocery chains as well are just flat out just not going to fill it. And if you even try to, like, cheat, they're finding ways around it. So if you're sending them, you know, hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak and the steroid, they're starting to say, okay, without even putting a diagnosis on there, they're just refusing. They'll fill the others, but not the hydroxychloroquine. So what we're finding is that the independent pharmacies, they'll fill it no problem. Compounding pharmacies will compound it no problem. So there's, and it's kind of like independent physician practices. It's the same motto. If you're independent, you're not going to follow some of those guidelines because you're in it to actually help the patient. You're not under corporate rule.
So what I'm so nervous about, and I think you are too, is really this, it's essentially citizen policing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the corporate ownership that's doing it at CVS and Target and Walgreens. But I also wonder sometimes if the average person in that position is getting some like secret thrill out of citizen policing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the flight attendants are like secretly thrilled that they get to tell you that the mask is here and not here. And I sometimes
power
wonder
trip.
If it's a little bit
so
of a power trip.
Yeah. It's so true.
All of a sudden, like we've allowed all these people to have this like, the pharmacist gets to call the doctor and say, no.
And I've been hearing too that a lot of times the pharmacists are trying to reach out, or the doctor's trying to reach out, the pharmacist's trying to reach out to the doctors. And the pharmacist, the doctors are, they're calling the doctors after hours,
yes,
purposely. So the patient's script will come in 9 a.m., but they're not calling them until the end of the shift. And then when they call, the doctor is either not in the office, because I even advise some doctors, I said, well, why don't you have your nurses know, like, and say it to the nurses, because we as pharmacists, we take scripts from nurses all the time. Not the doctor that calls it in. A lot of times it's the nurse. So I said, have it so that your nurse on duty will know when the pharmacy calls to just know their talking points, and you can just answer them with the right information.
Right.
So the patient gets the medication, and they're not delayed, because that's a whole day that patient doesn't get that treatment. So if the patient leaves the doctor's office, goes to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist like waiting for the doctor to call me back, but they never called, and they're not calling until after hours, that's a whole day they've missed. And now, and what if it's a Friday? And then the Saturday they can't get through. I mean, this is going to lead to more things down the road. So
you know, I've taken care of pregnant patients. I had someone who had 9 sick children at home, and she was sick. And we were so desperate, we called 3 pharmacists, tried to get her a prescription. And I thought, please, please, I mean, you know, she's breastfeeding mom. Can you please, please do this for her? And it's just a total disconnect.
Wow. So that's like an unbelievable statement, right? Because they're actually rushing out experimental shots for the pregnant women.
Right.
Who live with a couple of babies who've been breastfed who died. Like, it's crazy. It's really upsetting what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So what is the way out of this? Like, what is the way forward? You know, you heard me say this morning that I think this is the collective over the individual. You hear PM story after story. It's the independent physician. It's the independent pharmacist.
Well, I think there's a silver lining.
Yes, tell me.
You know, there is a silver lining because it's never going to go back. The society won't tolerate what it was before. And so I think that we're going to have to change, get the pharma off television, right?
Pharma,
get
yes.
pharma out of our medical literature again. Get pharma out of medical institutions. The federal regulatory agencies, I mean, CDC shouldn't be giving physician guidelines and mandating them. I mean, I've never seen that before. But I think there's just too much big money in the medical practice. So I think that the pharmacies in particular.
We got to squash the collective. We've got to become united. And so the first thing that would work is patients that use CVS and Walgreens just as their regular pharmacy, pull your scripts. Mm-hmm. Pull your scripts, go to an independent. Don't give the business to the monster because you're just feeding them. And trust me, I've worked for them. The corporate will call when they see, okay, a husband and wife pull their scripts, say 10 scripts each, 20 scripts that they lose. Corporate will call and say, what happened? Why did you lose that patient? What's going on? When I worked for an independent in Vermont, I had a call from Rite Aid. Rite Aid was calling me saying, why are you taking my patients? And you know what they started doing? They offering free things for them to come back. It was Thanksgiving. We're going to give you a free turkey if you come back to Rite Aid. I kid you not. So, and this was pre-COVID. So what are they going to do today? So the only way you're going to get out of this is if you pull your scripts from those places. Give the business to the independents. And it's the same with going to a doctor. Don't go to the hospital doctors. Find a private practice around you. Pay cash. You'll be so happy you did because you'll actually have real patient care. So we're going to have to take that collective and turn our back to them and say no more. It's going to take us, you know, to do it. It's going to take the people. I mean, I can say it all day long. I'm one. But you get the message out to millions, CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Sam's Club, Target, Rite Aid, any others, they will feel it. They'll feel the pain because their number one thing is profit. So when they don't see the profit, they'll freak out. Our goal isn't profit. That's the difference. We actually care.
Well, I think it's the distortion of third-party payers. Way to go, Jen! Go, Jen! I think it's the distortion of third-party payers. You know, the patient's not the consumer anymore. Mm-hmm. It's the employer. It's the federal agency. It's someone else. And so the patient, you know, you can be really disrespectful to a patient as a doctor, and they really have no consequence because, well, that's where their insurance is, and they're stuck with you.
Right. So this is a great opportunity to say that we hope that at America's Frontline Doctors, mm-hmm. we're going to have an opportunity to build a better healthcare system.
Yes.
So we are hearing over and over and over again that it has to be independence. It has to be independence mm-hmm. with the doctors, the physician, the pharmacists, hairdressers, gym yes. owners, salons, right? It's the independent people who can, you know, live or die by their customer satisfaction
mm-hmm. right.
and also not be subject to these corporate overlords,
yeah.
right? So we hope to do that. We hope to bring like a better, you know, maybe one day America's Frontline Doctors clinics, you know, near you
yes.
and with independent, where we have relationships maybe with independent pharmacists who mm-hmm. are so happy like you, mm-hmm. right? Right?
Yeah.
When I met you, Dr. Van de Water, you know, it was so interesting to me to hear your perspective that you really wanted to be a pharmacist because you really wanted that patient interaction where you can talk and counsel the patients
yeah.
about drugs, which I'd never really had that kind of interaction with a pharmacist
yeah.
before. It was
yeah.
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I would love
mm-hmm.
to see more pharmacists like that. That would be amazing, right?
Well,
it would be amazing.
It's a wonderful safeguard and part of the whole management package
yeah.
for that patient, and it gives them such confidence. You know, they know, okay, the pharmacist went over it, the doctor went over it, the nurse went over it. I feel good
yeah.
about this decision. This
yeah.
is why I'm going on this. And so, but I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get rid of medications for symptoms, you know, and
yes.
really start looking at core
health
disease.
And wellness.
Health and wellness.
It really needs about health and wellness. Nutrition. There's so many things underlying. And it just seems today, one of the things I know you've heard me mention, one thing that opened my eyes was I started working long-term care, and I started to realize when you're filling prescriptions and you're in a retail setting and you're just production line, you don't have time to really realize the amount of medication some people are on because you're not
right.
filling them all at one time. It's not a cycle fill. They just need a refill of their lisinopril and their atorvastatin whenever they need it, and it goes through. But when I was in long-term care and I was packaging the meds, we filled them at the same time and we had to package them, and I'm like, wow, they're on a lot of medications. And I started looking at their charts, and when you read it on paper, you start to see how, and then you're like, wow, they're taking a lot. And in that moment, I started to realize, I think people are over-medicated. And I started to see drug-drug interactions that people may not even realize they're having those drug-drug interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the geriatric patients, the elderly patients, their children would come in and say, my mom is falling a lot. I look at their med chart. Oh my goodness, of course they're falling. They're taking all these meds first thing in the morning and they're having a reaction. So we do need to start working together with the physicians, you know, and saying, okay, how can we really treat this patient for them? I mean, we're taught in school quality of life. We're not giving them quality of life. I really want to do that. I want to give them quality of life. And so we can work together. And that's the best thing. I think pharmacists and doctors need to work together
mm-hmm.
for the ultimate goal of the patient, what's best for the patient. And we can.
Absolutely.
We can.
So Just a quick question. So with, you know, those elderly people that are on 10 medications because they were having all these interactions, did any drug-drug interaction ever pop up on the screen, on the computer
no.
screen?
No, they never had any drug, no. And they would rate, because they would rate at like high to low. Sometimes you get like a very low, and we would just pass that by because we're taught just pass by the low ones, which again, you're a production line. Why is hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak coming in as red flag, warning? It's like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dr. Cole, you know, and you know with AFLDS, yes, it's so many of the physicians that ended up coming to us were independent physicians.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Well, the salaried physician, you know, has ownership to the boss, right? I mean, and if the boss says to do this, then they got to do it. And I just, I think that those docs would love to get back to more independent thinking and be able to practice medicine with integrity and honesty and transparency.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to really end on an optimistic note because I do think there's an opportunity here to kind of practice medicine better, pharmacy better, work collaboratively. But it really comes down to doctors being independent, pharmacists being independent, and then really the sky's the limit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's do it. Should we do it?
Absolutely.
We're going to do it.